The following week, and it's on the screen for you, the following week almost the entire city turned out to hear them preach the word of the Lord. But when some of the Jews saw the crowds, they were jealous. So they slandered Paul and they argued against whatever he said. Then Paul and Barnabas spoke out boldly and declared, "It was necessary that we first preach the word of God to you Jews. But since you've rejected it and judged yourselves unworthy of eternal life, we will offer it to the Gentiles." Verse 47, "For the Lord gave us this command when he said, 'I have made you a light to the Gentiles, to bring salvation to the farthest corners of the earth.' And when the Gentiles heard this, they were very glad and they thanked the Lord for his message, and all who were chosen for eternal life became believers." Verse 49, "So the Lord's message spread throughout that region." Are you still with me? Yes. Verse 50, "Then the Jews stirred up the influential religious women." I love that they stirred up the women. Like, you know, I feel like it was like the aunties and they were like, "Hey, he said this about us. Come with me." And me and Alyssa are like, "Right, we're coming." Anyway, sidebar. "They stirred up the influential religious women and the leaders of the city, and they incited a mob against Paul and Barnabas and ran them out of town." So verse 51 is key here. "So Paul and Barnabas," oh man, my eyes, let me just get a little closer. "Paul and Barnabas shook the dust from their feet as a sign of rejection before they went to the next town. And when they got there, they were continually filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit." They shook the dust from their feet as a sign of rejection. See, back in Matthew 10, Jesus gives authority and power to the disciples over unclean spirits to cast them out, to heal every kind of sickness and disease. And in doing that, he gives them instruction about going into towns. And if we go to the next scripture, it says this, Jesus said this to the disciples, "Whoever does not welcome you nor listen to your message as you leave the house or the city, shake the dust off your feet in contempt and breaking all ties." Shake the dust off your feet. Imagine experiencing such rejection and slander and just going, "All right. Oh, I've got so much joy at the next town." Like that's pretty hard to do. Like, imagine what they went through. It's funny because in Acts 13, we see that dust is representative of rejection and slander and hurtful words. And dusting their feet off was a physical sign of, it was a gesture to the town to say, "Hey, I reject you. I reject that. You know, I'm not going to take that to the next town. I leave that with you." And it was also a sign of breaking a tie. It was sending a message to them. And we can see that they actually decided, "Hey, this rejection that I've experienced, it's not going to hinder my next journey. I'm not going to take that with me." And, you know, perhaps there's a bit of a double meaning here, because if we look at the first mention of dust in the Bible, which is, you know, the law of the first mention when we study the Bible, it's in Genesis 2:7. And it says, "Then the Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground," from the dust of the ground, "and he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And the man became a living being, an individual complete in body and spirit." So really we see that without God, we're dust. You know, without God's breath, we're merely dust. And perhaps there is a double meaning here when Paul and Barnabas shook the dust off their feet. And it also symbolized that they are no longer without God. They are with God. They are called. They are chosen. The old is gone. You know, perhaps the dust also represents that. Does that make sense? Are you with me? It could represent that death. And so perhaps when they were shaking that dust off, they sort of said, "Hey, the town will remain as dust, a godless town. You've rejected me. You've rejected the truth. So we reject you. But I'm not gonna remain without God. I am with God. I'm gonna shake that off and I'm gonna keep going to the next town, the next place that God has for me." And perhaps they didn't want any remnants left on them from a place where they experienced the most rejection and they didn't think that life would go that way. You know, I remember, if you don't know some of my story, I moved here from Mount Isa, but I grew up on the sunny coast. I was born in Brisbane, Ipswich actually, which I don't normally tell people because I'm like, oh, Ipswich. Sorry if anyone's from Ipswich here. I'm like, Mom, couldn't you just drive like an hour before you gave birth to me? But I grew up on the sunny coast and then I moved to Mount Isa for work after I finished uni. And I used to get so frustrated living in Mount Isa. I was there for 2 years. Anyone else has lived in Mount Isa before? I know like BJ, yeah, I think it's just us. Oh yeah, a few people. Yeah, Leanne, I forget that you guys lived in Mount Isa too. And I remember I used to get so frustrated, like typical city girl from Brisbane, you know, I get out of the car wearing open shoes and I'm like, ew, dust, like red dirt. Like, what is this on my feet? Yuck. And I'm the type of person that hates dirt on my feet. Like I will vacuum every few days if I can feel like grit and dirt under my feet. Is anyone else a bit weird like that? Yeah, there's a few people. I just hate that feeling. It's weird. I'm weird. It's a weird thing. Anyway, so I used to get frustrated with dirt in Mount Isa and I'm telling you, it was everywhere. Like it would be in the air vents in your car. Oh, so annoying to clean. And you know, I'd hang white sheets out on the line, big mistake, and there'd be red dirt on them when you'd be pulling them in. Like 7 minutes later after you hung them out, they'd be dry because it's Mount Isa and there'd be red dirt on them. And it was so annoying. And my backyard had like no grass in it. Like it was just red dirt. You remember that, Leanne? It was really, green grass was like a rare commodity in Mount Isa. Like it's weird. People get obsessed with grass in Mount Isa. And I remember you'd be driving through the town and there'd be like these really lush green lawns. And you're like, ooh, they are God's chosen people. Like that's the Israelites. Like how did they get that? And then us Gentiles would have like 3 blades of grass in our backyard. But we'd be obsessed over it. Like, you know, you couldn't use sprinklers. You'd have to use a hose. And so from like 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. and I think 8 till 10 p.m. was the, yeah, Leanne's nodding, the water restrictions. And so you'd be out with your hose at 9 o'clock with these 3 blades of grass. Like, I will you to live. Like, please multiply. Like, come on. I want to be like the Israelites. It was just dust everywhere. And when my sister flew out to Mount Isa, Hannah, she came out so that I could drive back with her when I was moving to Mackay. And that's a whole nother amazing testimony that I don't have time for. But she came out and I bribed her with McDonald's because she was pregnant at the time. And I was like, I'll give you McDonald's. Like if you drive back with me, she was like, I'm there. And we were driving out and the day before I had cleaned my car because I was like, I don't want any of this dust in my car. Like this red dirt is so annoying. And so I cleaned it. And then for months after, I was still finding this red dirt in my car. And it was so frustrating because I had cleaned and cleaned and cleaned. And it was just really annoying. And I remember I had moved into my new house. I was living alone. I'd left Hannah and Jono's. And I was outside cleaning my car. And I was getting frustrated at this dirt that was still appearing. And I remember I just full on started crying while I was cleaning my car. And I was just like, oh my gosh, this dirt, like I'm so sick of this dirt. I was just full on crying and the neighbors were probably like, who is this weird chick crying, cleaning her car? Like it's just dirt. I'm like, but it's not just dirt. Because that dirt reminded me of who and what I came from. And I was the most anxious. I had the most rejection. I had no hope. I didn't know God at all when I was in Mount Isa. And seeing this dirt was just like this physical reminder for me that's what I had experienced. And so, yeah, I was like a hot mess express cleaning my car, like crying my eyes out because I'm like, I want this dirt gone. Like I want to break ties with this dirt. Like I'm done with this season of my life. And you know, I remember that I came inside and I still remember the exact spot on my floor that I got down on my knees and I went to that spot pretty much every day and I would just cry and cry. And I always knew that God was next to me and, you know, I could just see all the pieces of my heart on the floor and God would pick a piece up and we would talk about it and we would work through it. And I remember him so clearly saying to me, you know, you can't take this rejection and this hurt to the new place, Claire. You can't take this hurt and this rejection to the new season that I have for you. And I just knew that I had to work through this stuff. And sometimes we don't even realize that we're carrying around these things. But then God, in such a beautiful way, he shows us that. And, you know, it took months and months and months for me to sit with God and work through that and to give him my heart and for him to put it back together. And it was a time in my life where I've never felt closer to God. And I love that. And he just kept saying to me, you can't take this to the new season. You can't take this to the new place. We need to deal with this. You're not carrying this to the next place. Because if I'm being really honest, it's really uncomfortable being vulnerable with God, hey? Like being honest and saying, this person hurt me or this is how I'm feeling. It's a level of vulnerability that I had to go through. And I mentioned earlier in Matthew 10, that Jesus was talking about instructing the disciples to go out and proclaim the good news and casting out demons and healing the sick and everything like that. And of course, shaking the dust off your feet if a town rejects you. But what I actually missed in that part that God showed me this week was where he says, take no gold or silver, no bag for your journey, or two tunics, or sandals, or a staff. And another version says this, which I love this version. Don't think you have to put on a fundraising campaign before you start. You don't need a lot of equipment. You are the equipment. And all you need to keep that going is 3 meals a day. Praise the Lord, 3 meals a day. Travel light. Travel light. And I felt like God was really working through the baggage that I had. And I'm just going to say, I'm not a very good traveler. I pack so much stuff, and my sister knows this because if ever she takes me to the airport, she's like, oh my gosh, why is your suitcase so heavy? Like I pack everything, and I'm flying to the sunny coast on Tuesday to drive back with my sister, and to my horror, it's a carry-on flight. And I'm like, what? What am I going to do with my 30 undies that I need for like 2 nights? Like I'm that person. I'm like, I don't know why I need all these undies, but something could happen. You know, I once brought back a clothesline from IKEA in my suitcase, like for real, I'm not kidding. I brought back a clothesline to hang all my undies out. I've got so many undies. But I'm a weird packer. And I actually get so scared by the people at the airport that just get on a flight with a phone and a wallet and keys. I'm like, you scare me. Like, how do you do that? What witchcraft is this? Like, teach me your ways because I've got this big bag with absolutely everything in it. You know, and when they say, in the event of an emergency, you're not going to take your bag, I'm like, we'll see about that because you're all going to be coming to me for Band-Aids and wipes and I've got it all. I'm not a good packer and I'm okay. I can accept that. But I'm a just-in-case packer. Like, I'm like, okay, I might need this just in case. I might need this just in case. And the disciples couldn't be just in case packers, could they? And there's a connection here to Jesus saying, shake off the dust and also, you know, leaving that rejection behind, but also traveling lightly. And I have a few thoughts on this. I have 3 thoughts on why Jesus talks about shaking off the dust and traveling lightly in between the places that he's taking us. And my first thought is added weight delays arrival to the new, and it also hinders the longevity of the journey. You know, the disciples would not have been able to go as far as they wanted to with lots of big bags, you know, like with heaps and heaps of undies and things and gold and silver. That would have seriously delayed their journey and their stamina. They wouldn't have been able to travel as far because it can take us longer to get to the new place with God if we're constantly bringing all our baggage with us. Are you with me? Are you with me? You're awake. My second thought is that we can operate from a weighted perspective if we want to bring all our baggage with us. And this is a state of functioning that we can actually be in, this perspective of our baggage. And I felt like God showed me that even just last year. And, you know, an opportunity came up and I said to God, okay, I'm not going to go for it, God, because if I don't do it, then I won't get let down. I won't get my hopes up and I won't be disappointed. And I was like, yeah. And God's like, no, Like, that's not a healthy mindset. You're functioning from a rejected perspective. Like, you're functioning from a state of rejection from years back, and that's not normal. And sometimes you're like, what? That's not normal? I'm just, you know, hashtag self-preservation. Like, is that not a thing? It's not, apparently. It's not normal. And so it's so important to shed that weight, to leave that weight behind. And because when we do that, the third point is that we relinquish control of all areas of our life. You know, when we're willing to leave our baggage behind, God becomes our provider. He becomes our miracle worker. He becomes our hope. We have complete reliance on Him because we don't have extra clothes or extra undies or silver or gold. The disciples had to completely rely on God to provide those things. All He said was, have three meals a day. That's all you need. You are the equipment. You are the equipment. And I said that, you know, I'm a just-in-case person, but God's not a just-in-case God. He's not. He's a just-watch-me God. Just watch me. Thank you. I will. He is a just-watch-me God. He's not a pack 30 undies just in case. He's not a get-a-clothesline from IKEA. He's like a just bring your carry-on and we will go. And on the other side of me letting go and surrendering and you know, cleaning all the dust out of my car, by the way, I did get it all out, praise the Lord. And I'd be on that spot over and over again. And on the other side of that was such a joy and such hope. And I am such a different person. I'm still growing, as we all are, but I'm such a different person to what I was, you know, 10 years ago, 8 years ago, even 3 years ago. I've had some of the best years of my life since surrendering to God and to partner with Him and leave all of the weight from the past or all the rejection behind. There's such a joy in doing that, in letting go with God. And we see in Acts 13:52, after they shake the dust off and they shake that rejection off, they have continual joy and they're continually filled by the Holy Spirit. And I love that, and I'm receiving that for this year. I know it's not this amazing scripture that says, you know, the news coming in this, but I'm gonna receive continual joy and continual filling of the Holy Spirit this year. And speaking of airports, I actually had a vision this week when I was praying about what to share, and God showed me an airport, funnily enough. And then I found out that my flight was carry-on and I'm like, oh man. And then I saw this vision and it was all making sense. And God was waiting at the check-in counter and the baggage allowance, and He had scales. And this was for all of us. You know, He asked me to share this. And I could see that some of us are carrying checked baggage, big suitcases, but it was never a checked flight for the next destination. And God said, the new place that I'm taking you to, you can't take what you've been carrying around. You've exceeded your baggage limit. There's no room for this at your next destination. It was never a checked baggage flight. It was always just a carry-on. And in order to commence this journey into the new, you need to leave this weight behind. And God said, give me your weight, lay it down. You can't go to where I'm taking you to with it, but I've paid the price for carry-on. And what you can take into the new place that I have for you is strength and authority and the power that you've walked away with what you've experienced. You can take hope in me. You can take faith in me. You can take my joy. You can take expectation. You're not going to take that state of functioning of rejection, but you're going to take an expectation. And I just want to say that the rejection of 2023 is not your projection for 2024. And what the enemy tried to attach to you last year, you get to shake that off, because you have the power and authority. So we need to shake that off. Hey, like, we have that authority, not the enemy, not the enemy at all. How's our time going? Worship team, I might invite you to come up, please, if you can. See, I believe that God wants to take us to a new place in 2024. And there's been a common theme. And I know it's the start of the year. Everyone's like, wow, that's a huge revelation, a new place. It's a new year. But I do feel that. I feel that God's inviting us to a new place. And the invitation is there, and how that looks is between you and God. I'm not going to tell you what that new place is for you. I can only encourage you to get on your knees and surrender and ask God this week, what does that look like for me? What does that new place hold for me? God, show me what you want to do with me this year. Show me what you want to do with me this year. Could we stand together in this place? When I saw that vision of the airport and what God said, I felt God show me some things, perhaps about some people that might be here today. And I would love for us to open up the altar at the end for prayer. And if you want prayer, please feel to come, because we've got a prayer team here that's going to pray for you. And there's two things that I would like to pray for this morning. And the first one is that those that are expecting the new in 2024, those that are excited for the new year, those that are excited for the new dwelling place, you know, we're done with the old town. We've shaken that dust off. We've got the new town ahead. Those that are excited. And let me just say, if you're not excited for this year, let me carry that for you, because I'm so excited for this year. Like, I am. I know there's been words of that it's going to be a tumultuous year, but I'm like, no, I believe it's going to be a great year. There's going to be faith and hope, and there's going to be joy. And I believe that we're going to experience amazing Holy Spirit moments in this church. Like, I'm believing for that. If you're not, then I will. Let me carry that. Let me believe for that. Let me release that. So people that are wanting to set the year up, that are wanting some fresh vision, ready to step into the new, that's the first type of people I'd like to pray for, if you want to be prayed for. And the second type is those that have been feeling weighed down. I'm going to try not to get emotional, because, man, my heart, when I saw that vision and I could see that there was people that were broken and rejected. Man, I resonate with that. That was me. That was me 2017. And I want to pray for those people that feel that way, because Yahweh, God of hope, rode into that building this morning when we were in worship, ahead of what you're experiencing. And I also believe that there's people here that may have baggage that you don't realize you're carrying. I believe that there's a baggage of sickness that's attached to a family or someone. And I want to partner with that and break that. I want to partner with God and break that. I believe that there's people that have had brain fog, trouble with vision, migraines, anxiety, panic attacks. Trouble with vision, I also saw a lack of vision. You know, I could see tunnel vision and there was no peripheral. And I felt God say, hey, I want to give new vision. I want to open that up. There's someone that's had a lack of vision, that they're actually not aware of who I am anymore or what I can do, and I see that vision opening. So there's multiple things that I want to pray for. Loneliness was another one, but hugely that rejection and that hurt and that brokenness. So the worship team are going to sing for us. We're going to open the altar. If you want prayer for anything, just come. We would love to pray for you. We'd love to pray for you and bless you.